I changed the title of my lesson after I told Paul what I was speaking about. Still the same basic theme, but the title of the lesson is simply Storms. As I began to get into the real depths of preparation for this thing, I saw that it could go in a little bit different direction from what I had originally, points that I gave him. Though the songs are still right on that we sang, so it's not walking on water, but it's just simply storms. Do you think the disciples of Jesus ever sat around and during the days of the first century, after the church was established, and maybe after things got back somewhat normal day-to-day life, if they ever did get back to normal for those guys, do you suppose they ever sat around and talked about old times? And if so, what do you think they said? I can just imagine them sitting around and saying, "Hey, do you guys remember when we," and you know, any number of things. Or maybe, "Do you remember when James and John wanted to call down fire out of heaven and consume that little village over there after they were so ugly to Jesus? Peter, do you remember that night you stepped out on the water and walked and sank like a rock?" You know, of all the exciting memories that I can imagine those disciples would have had, I have no doubt that the events of that particular night when Jesus came walking on the water in that storm and when Peter got out of the boat and attempted to walk to him, I have no doubt that the events of that night lingered in their minds as long as anything that they went through. Now that occasion is recorded in Matthew, Mark, and John, but we're going to use Matthew's version of what happened for our study tonight. So if you will, please turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 14. I want us to read verses 22 through 32, Matthew chapter 14, beginning with verse 22. "Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up into the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat, by this time, was a long way from the land, beaten by waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, and they said, 'It is a ghost!' And they cried out in fear. But immediately, Jesus spoke to them, saying, 'Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid.' And Peter answered him, 'Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water.' He said, 'Come.' So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, 'Lord, save me!' Jesus immediately stretched out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, 'Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?' And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshipped him, saying, 'Truly, you are the Son of God.'" Now, this was not the first time that Jesus had comforted his disciples on the sea. For just a few days before this, recorded in Mark chapter 4, Jesus had gotten into a boat with them and they had set out across the sea. And you remember on that occasion, Jesus laid down and went to sleep. And a strong wind arose and the boat began to be buffeted by the waves, and soon the waves were so large that they were actually filling the boat with water, and they woke Jesus in great fear, and Jesus calmed the storm and rebuked them for their lack of faith. And I think at least one of those songs that we sang a few minutes ago is based on that text. Have you ever had a storm or two in your life? I feel sure that most of us here tonight have had those storms. In fact, there are probably some among us tonight who are right in the middle of some pretty significant storms. Because the fact is, life is full of storms. They are inevitable. They are stressful. They are not altogether avoidable. Last Friday night, I was on the way to the singing at Grandview Pines. I was driving along the Alabama River Parkway, and the weather was getting pretty nasty. And at precisely 6:21 p.m., the National Weather Service issued a tornado warning for northern Montgomery County and southwestern Elmore County. The way my truck was being pushed around by the wind, I was pretty sure that thing had me dead in its sights. And I was thinking seriously about turning around and coming back home, wondering about the wisdom of getting out and driving on a night like that when the weather was such. And then my phone alerted me that I had a text message. I figured it was probably Beth or maybe even Justin telling me about the tornado warning. So I looked at the screen. It was Stan Middleton, a dear friend of mine in his early 70s who lives in San Diego, California. The message simply said, "How is the weather there?" I answered his text, "Rough. Tornado warning just issued." His response came back immediately, "Praying." I answered him right back and I said, "Thanks, me too." At this time, I should explain to you that Stan's wife, Cherry, a couple of years ago was diagnosed with ALS, more commonly known by most people as Lou Gehrig's disease. It's a disease that attacks the nerves to the muscles of the extremities of the body, and over time it is very debilitating and, of course, eventually fatal. In the past couple of weeks, Cherry's condition had really deteriorated significantly. And in fact, she has been under the care of hospice now for several weeks. I wanted to explain that to you because Stan's next text message to me a few seconds later said, "Cherry is bedridden, waiting for the Lord to call her home." I pulled off the road and parked the truck in the middle of that storm that no longer seemed quite as big and bad as it had at first. And I dialed Stan's number so that I could talk to him a few minutes about his particular storm. He answered the phone like he always does. "Hello, Dave." I said, "Stan, you know, being a preacher and all, I'm supposed to know exactly what to say to people in times like this, but somehow it never works out that way." He said, "Don't worry about it, buddy. We're taking it one day at a time and just thankful for every day the Lord gives us." Earlier that same day, Friday, tornadoes ripped through the Midwest and southern states, killing 36 people. I read a news article this afternoon about a little community just north of Huntsville that was pretty much wiped out last April by the tornadoes. Several of the residents there had just finished rebuilding their houses just in time for them to be blown away again Friday morning. I know we have some folks here at Redland Road who are dealing with some storms of their own right now on a pretty substantial level. And there are probably others of us who are enduring a little minor thunder shower or two. Sad thing is that usually those of us who are going through those little thunder showers complain the loudest and think we've got it worse than anybody else. And some of those folks that are dealing with some really major storms are enduring silently, faithfully, patiently, leaning on the Lord. How are you dealing with your storms? I want to challenge all of us to give a little bit of thought tonight to storms, and not the kind that blow through quickly and here and gone without leaving much damage behind. I'm talking about the kind that bring all manner of physical and spiritual challenges into our lives. A couple of things I want to share with you. Number one, how these storms typically come. It's amazing how much information Rich Thomas and the other guys down there at Channel 12 can send out in those daily weather report emails, especially when the weather gets bad. You know, when they first started doing it, it was just a little brief paragraph, and now it'll fill up the entire page on your computer monitor when you open one, and they give you all the details about where the storm's been and how the air currents are moving and where the moisture is and how all of that's going to come together and what the computer models say. And, you know, they can tell you pretty much how those storms come and are getting pretty good at telling you which direction they're headed. Have you ever thought about how the storms come in your life? Some of those storms, first of all, we choose for ourselves. Now, that doesn't sound exactly right, but when you think about it, I think there's a lot of truth in that. Some of the storms we choose for ourselves. We choose them in a variety of different ways. Sometimes we choose them for ourselves through our own carelessness and negligence, by failing to do the things that we know that we need to do, knowing that sooner or later it's going to bring a storm into our lives, and yet we have sometimes the idea, well, I'll deal with it when it comes. Sometimes we bring them into our lives due to a failure or even refusal to prepare ourselves for what is often inevitable. Sometimes we bring storms upon ourselves because we choose a route or an option in life that may be loaded with risk or danger. And at the time, at least, we're willing to chance it. Every now and then, those storms never arrive, and it is that fact that give the wild and reckless among us hope that they can continue to make those risky choices and do those crazy things, believing all the while the storm will never come. Secondly, sometimes some storms come crashing into our lives because of the choices or the behavior of someone else. And many times it is a loved one, a family member, or even a close friend. Perhaps some of those could be avoided if we'd be more wise in choosing our friends, or if we would be less enabling with irresponsible family members. Some of those storms are worth the price of enduring for the good of that other person. Some people need help, and to abandon them would be just downright wrong. And so we brace ourselves for the storm that has no choice but to come. Thirdly, I believe some storms come into our lives because of God's sovereign will working through His providence. You'll understand what I mean when I say that God knows when we need a good thrashing. And while He does not seek to kill us in the process, He longs to teach us very crucial lessons, knowing that in so doing, He'll be able to bring some great lessons to us, great blessings to us. Let me also suggest to you some storm-related principles, especially in connection with that text that we read a few minutes ago that tells about Jesus and the disciples and their encounter with the storm on the sea. And I want you to consider these very important principles about life storms. Number one, storms come even when we are obedient to the commands of the Lord. There is no such thing as being so good that you won't ever have to experience bad. Some people today seem to believe that if a storm comes into our lives, it must indicate that there's something wrong with our relationship with God. Job's friends labored under that misconception in the Old Testament book that tells of Job's afflictions and his recovery. They were wrong. They were absolutely wrong. That's not to say that sin does not involve physical consequences, but it is wrong to assume that everyone who encounters hardship is receiving payback for their shortcomings. Notice in the text that we read from Matthew chapter 14 that the disciples were doing exactly what the Lord told them to do when that storm came upon them in the middle of the sea. Even when we are obedient to the Lord, even when things are going along so well, the weather often changes very abruptly. The second principle I want to suggest to you is that some of the greatest blessings are to be found in the darkest part of the storm. Matthew tells us that it was during the fourth watch of the night, between 3 a.m. and sunrise, that Jesus came walking to the disciples on the water. While the storms of reality challenge us, discourage us, sometimes even injure us, if our relationship with God is right, the storms have a way of sometimes, often, opening up an avenue for God's blessings that we could never have been able to see before. Number three, in this same connection, storms reveal the true source of all that we have. I believe it was because of that storm that night that the disciples truly appreciated who Jesus really was. Look at the end of Matthew's account of that story. He said, "They said to Jesus, 'Truly, you are the Son of God.'" when things were at their very worst for the disciples, when they were overwhelmed by the wind and the waves, Jesus came. Storms often call attention to our inability. And sometimes it takes the recognition of those inabilities to help us see our real assets. Paul said it like this in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10. For when I'm weak, then am I truly strong. Because you see, the Lord told him, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. So maybe you should consider buying a weather radio. They're pretty popular these days. If you don't already have one. At least you should download a good weather alert app on your smartphone. But even more importantly, let's all fortify our lives with prayer, Bible study. Because nothing will be more valuable than that in preparing us to weather the storms. How are you handling the storms in your life? If you're subject to our Lord's invitation, we invite you to respond as we stand together and sing.